Good day, and welcome to the Fondul H3 2020 Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Marius Dan. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, and welcome everyone to our conference call to discuss the third quarter 2020 results and the October NAV developments of Fondul Proprietatea. Cătălin Cadaru, Head of Financial Reporting, and I are pleased to host today's call. The third quarter results report can be found on the fund's website in the investor relations section, and the presentation that we will be discussing shortly was also sent out to you earlier today. The slides are available on our website as well at www.fondulproprietatea.ro in the results presentation section. After the presentation, we will have a 30-minute Q&A session. As a reminder, the call is being recorded. The recording will be available on the fund's website after the call. Turning to the presentation, I would like to start with slide two, where we highlight the key facts about the fund. At the end of October, the NAV was RON 9.8 billion, approximately $2.34 billion, and the NAV per share reached a level of RON 1.5751 per share, which is 9.2% lower compared to the end of 2019 asset value as of 31st of December. On the right-hand side, you can also see the evolution of the fund's adjusted share price and the discount since the fund's listing in January 2011. The share price as of Friday's close was 19.4% higher compared to the end of March 2020 and 9.5% higher compared to the end of 2019. Moving on to slide three, we show a summary of the NAV share price and GDR performance since 2011 and the evolution of the fund's average annual discount since its listing on the Bucharest Stock Exchange. The NAV total return in the third quarter was 1.66%. The total return for the local shares was 2.8%, while the total return for the GDRs was 7.64%. Year to date, the NAV total return is down 5.15%, while the total return for the local share is up to 12.05% and up 15.8% for the GDRs listed in London. The positive return has led to a contraction of the discount to the current level of 16.6% for the local shares and slightly above 19% for the GDRs as of Friday's close. However, we strongly believe that through our discount control mechanism and efforts to create value for our shareholders, there is still a lot to be done. Moving on to slides four and five, we show the contributors to the fund's NAV performance in the third quarter and for the first nine months of the year. On slide four, you can see the top performance in the third quarter, which were the listed companies, OMV Petrom and Nuclearelectrica, as the market continued to perform well following the large drop registered in March and April. Also, following the update on the independent valuation reports, Bucharest Airport, Salrom, and Enel Energie Muntenia had a positive contribution to the NAV for the third quarter. The bottom performance were two small listed companies, Alcom and Romaero, but overall performance for the NAV per share, as I mentioned earlier, was a positive one in the third quarter. Moving to slide five, we show the contributors for the first nine months of the year, and the most significant ones were Hidroelectrica and Nuclearelectrica. As a reminder, updates to the independent valuations of unlisted companies were conducted and reflected starting with the June NAV. The main detractors for the period were OMV Petrom and Bucharest Airport, followed by ENGIE and the Enel distribution companies, Manat and Dobrogea. The overall performance for the nine-month period was a negative one of 8.4%. The fund will continue to closely monitor the evolution of financial markets and that of the specific industries the unlisted holdings operate in for each NAV reporting date, and if necessary, an update of the multiples will be prepared, and the valuation of unlisted holdings will be updated accordingly. Otherwise, the next independent valuation reports will be incorporated in the December 2020 NAV report to be published in mid-January 2021. In the next section, we would like to give an update to the fund's portfolio. On slide seven, we show the portfolio structure as of the end of October. 73% in unlisted companies. We have now 17% in listed equities following the accelerated book build offering for OMV Petrom shares, which was completed in September. And then 10% is in net cash and receivables. The net cash and receivables position as of the end of October 2020 was $240 million. And our intention, as stated previously, with the cash is not to hold on to it, but to distribute it to our shareholders via a mix of buybacks, tender offers, and dividends. Moving to the next slide, number 8, we show the listed versus the unlisted split of the fund portfolio. The largest listed holding remains OMV Petrom, while Hydroelectrica remains the largest unlisted holding. I would also like to highlight that today we also published the fund's detailed statement of investments as of the end of September 2020, which is available on the fund's website in the investment section. Moving on to slide 9, we show the top 10 portfolio companies as of the end of October. These companies represent a little over 86% of the fund's NAV. Taking into account that 10% is in cash, that means that the other 23% companies remain a very small part of the fund's portfolio, and we continue to try to dispose of that tail end of the portfolio. Furthermore, the portfolio remains top-heavy with Hydroelectrica, OMV Petrom, and Bucharest Airport. These three companies represent over 68% of the fund's NAV. Moving on to slide 10, we show a brief summary of the 9-month 2020 preliminary financial results for some of the main portfolio companies. As expected, we do see a negative impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, which has been reflected in the financials of these companies. But I will elaborate more on the main holdings in the following slide. Moving to slide 11, to Hydroelectrica, we provide some updates on the performance of the company. According to the management, for the first 9 months of the year, turnover was down almost 16% to 2.76 billion RON. EBITDA was down almost 20% to 1.93 billion RON. Operating was profit was down 21.4% at 1.47 billion RON. And the profitability was down slightly, net profit was down slightly 3.9% to 1.26 billion RON. Electricity sold during the 9-month period was 12.01 terawatts, which is down almost 7% compared to the same period of 2019, out of which the electricity sold out of own production reached 10.9 terawatt hours compared to 12.04 terawatt hours in January-September 2019. During the same period, Hydroelectrica sold on the regulated market 2.55 terawatt hour of electricity compared to 1.48 terawatt hour sold in the same period of last year. And the average realized electricity price was down 9% year on year to around 205.3 per megawatt hour. On the competitive market, the average realized price for the period was 231.3 RON per megawatt hour compared to 240 during the same period of 2019, while the average regulated price for Hydroelectrica was down almost 5% to 106.3 RON per megawatt hour. The company's net cash position as of the end of September 2020 was 1.4 billion RON, so around $350 million. Moving on to slide 5, we show the main updates on the on OMV Petrom, the fund's second largest holding. During January-September 2020, electricity sold was down. The company, the management, revised their main assumption for 2020. The average Brent oil price was $40 per barrel, which is down from the $60 per barrel guidance before the COVID-19 pandemic. The refining margins of the companies was around $3, which was below the $4 guidance. Gas demand was expected to be similar to 2019. The costs are expected to be reduced by 2 billion, out of which 1.3 billion have already been realized. And management underlined that the progressive dividend policy will remain unchanged. The impact of low oil price environment in 2020. According to the management, a decrease of $1 per barrel in the Brent price impacts the company by 20 million euro. The same on the refining margin, the same decrease of $1 has an impact, a negative impact of 25 million euros. And then the 5 cents depreciation of the euro-dollar exchange rate has a negative impact of 30 million euros. In the one other point about Petrom was to highlight the fact that in September we did execute and successfully complete an accelerated book build offering of 1.7 billion shares, which represented about 30% of our stake in Petrom at the time, and we raised $137 million or 560 million RON from this transaction, and following the transaction, our stake in the company decreased to 7%. As we move on to slide 13, we show the latest updates on our third largest holding, Bucharest Airport. As expected, the company has been heavily impacted by the current environment, with the number of passengers and flights seeing a significant decline since the beginning of the pandemic. You can see in the second table the evolution, the monthly evolution of passenger traffic in 2020 versus 2019, even though as the countries, more countries started opening up, more flights being added, the number of passengers is still down significantly in the third quarter, over 70% decrease. Another thing to highlight about Bucharest Airport is the revised budget for 2020. And according to this revised budget, the estimated number of passengers for this year is 5.6 million passengers, which is down significantly compared to almost 15 million passengers that we've seen in 2019. It's disappointing, of course, given that we were on track to exceed that at the beginning of the year before the pandemic started. As you can see, in January and February this year, the traffic numbers were quite strong. Also, according to the revised budget, we expect the company to have a net loss of around 130 million RON this year, and a decrease of over 50% in operating revenues. And we expect the recovery to start in 2021. And you can see here the numbers that are being budgeted by the Ministry of Transportation and the company. Moving on to the next slide, slide 14, we show an update on Nuclear Electrica. The company has performed relatively well, even though revenues from electricity have decreased by 2.2% to 1.74 million RON. We had an increase in EBIT to 540 million RON almost, and then the net profit of the company was up 15% to over 477 million RON. And this was primarily due to lower OPEX and a positive financial result of almost 35 million RON, and a net financial loss of almost 5 million RON registered in the nine-month period. For Nuclear Electrica, the realized average electricity price decreased slightly by 1% to 227 RON per megawatt hour, and the quantity of electricity sold on the free market was actually lower this year compared to last year by almost 12%, given that the regulator assigned Nuclear Electrica a quantity of 1.1 terawatts in the second half of 2020. According to the shareholder meeting resolution, which was passed in June 2020, on the 12th of June, regarding Unit 3 and 4, the government renounced the negotiations with the Chinese company. And then on 9th of October of this year, Romania and the United States agreed on a statement of intent regarding the cooperation on nuclear energy. According to media reports, the value of the agreement is estimated at around 8 billion euro, and the projects will be coordinated by AECOM and the consortium of companies from U.S., Romania, Canada, and France. Furthermore, on 26th of October, Romania and France signed a statement of intent regarding the cooperation on nuclear energy, and at the company level, the Nuclear Electrica signed a similar document with the French company, Orano. What we are seeking clarity from the government at this point is how they intend to make these investments so that the listed company, Nuclear Electrica, doesn't get impacted by this. Moving on to the next section, to the corporate action section, on slide 16, we show the fund distribution since we started managing the fund. For 2020, we included here the amount estimated to be distributed, assuming a successful ninth tender offer, which we currently have going on. And this brings the total amount for this year to almost 1.5 billion RON. Moving on to slide 17, we show the details of the fund's latest buyback programs. Once the tender will have been completed, the 800 million shares approved for repurchase in the 11th buyback program will be complete, and we receive shareholder approval for the next buyback program to be executed in 2021, and that's for another 800 million shares, which based on the current number of unpaid or paid shares and excluding treasury shares is around over 13% of the outstanding shares. Moving on to slide 18, we show here briefly the main details of the current tender offer. It is for 160 million shares. The subscription period started on the 12th of November, will end on 16th of December. The price that we are offering is 1.39 RON per share, or the equivalent of 16.5 RON per GDR. Of course, the allocation method, as always, will be pro rata. Swiss Capital is the intermediary, and together with Auerbach Grayson, dealer managers, and Bank of New York Mellon is the GDR tender agent. Moving on to the next slide, on slide 19, we show here a summary of the fund's annual net dividends and dividend payout ratios for the top 10 portfolio companies. And these are the regular annual dividends and do not include the special dividends which we have received in the last few years. Those are included on the following slide. For 2020, we have 524 million RON in dividends, and these are based on the company's financials as of end of 2019, and these dividends will be paid out to shareholders in 2021. And on slide 20, we show the summary of the total dividend income this year, because we had the special dividends from NL in the amount of over 520 million RON. We had a record high year of dividend income, $300 million almost, 1.21 billion RON. We are in a privileged position to have a lot of visibility on the potential annual dividend to be paid next year. As I said earlier, this income is based on the financial performance of the company in 2019. Given the performance, the current performance that we're seeing at the nine-month mark for the current holdings in the portfolio, we are optimistic that we will have a solid dividend income in 2021 as well. The fund's third quarter and nine-month financial results are presented on slide 23 and 24. And I would like to invite Catalina Cadaru, Head of Financial Reporting, to comment on this.
Thank you, Marius. So on the first slide, we see the statement of financial position at the end of September, and there are two main points I would like to comment. One is the significant increase in the cash and cash equivalent position Fondu, and this is the result of the record high level of dividends, as mentioned by Marius earlier, and also the partial disposal of Petrom shares during September. And these cash inflows were partially offset by the distributions to shareholders in the form of buybacks and annual dividends. The second point is the decrease of the portfolio, and this comes with the two main explanations. One is the decrease of the unlisted holding portfolio following the updated valuation report that also took into consideration this record high dividend levels for those companies. And the second main reason is the decrease of the share price for the listed portfolio, and especially Petrom, that generated this decrease in the portfolio. On the next slide, we see the result, the unaudited result of Fondul at the end of September. So Fondul finished the first 9 months of 2020 with a loss of approximately 726 million RON, which was mainly generated by this change in fair value, as explained earlier. And this negative change in fair value of the portfolio was partially netted off by the gross dividend income recorded by Fondul from portfolio companies.
Thank you, Cătălin. At this point, we would like to open it up for any questions you may have.
Thank you, Marius. So if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for a brief moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. Once again, if you would like to ask a question via telephone, please press star 1. Once again, that is star 1. We'll take our first question from Cian Huet Liam from CSAM. Please go ahead. Go ahead, your line is open. Cian, you might have yourself muted on your end. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hello. Hi, Marius. Thank you for the presentation. Hi. I would like to understand a bit about the net income of Hydro. Given the top line has been down roughly about 20% or so, but we see that the bottom line has been holding up very well. May I know what's the reason for this? Thank you.
Sure. For Hydro, I would like to invite my colleague Daniel Nasali, who is responsible for covering Hydro, to comment on the results in more detail.
Hi. Hi. Thank you for the question. The difference is, as you've seen, it's a difference in the effective tax rate. Basically, as you have seen in 2019, basically the 2019 figures include also the taxation on basically some reserves that have been allotted for covering some negative adjustments to the fair value of some long-term assets, and as well as the effect of the special dividend last year that was paid in December, but the company included the taxation on that special distribution also in the first 9 months, basically to have like for like comparison. So basically the effect is due to this special movement in the capital accounts and the special dividend payments that explain the different effective tax rate.
Sure, thank you.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please press star 1 if you'd like to ask a question via telephone. We'll now take our next question from KS Rabunu. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
this is KS. Thank you very much for the presentation. And my question is a little bit general regarding the development plans for the airport and for the Constanța port. As we know, this 3Cs initiative together with the government stimulus project plan on investing a lot in infrastructure. I was wondering if you have better contact with the companies, did you see negative impact on this COVID on the long-term investment plans or medium-term investment plans, or these things are still in place and they are still being pursued as per the schedule that was announced before the crisis? Thank you.
Thank you, guys, for the question. As a general comment, we don't see any acceleration in the, especially when it comes to the Bucharest airports and the investment plan there. As we know, before the pandemic started, the capacity constraints of the airport were becoming quite obvious. So the current situation, although it gives some breathing room, we do want the company to continue with the plan to IPO and to raise the necessary funding to build a new terminal and to expand the current capacity. But we haven't seen any specific progress on this, and neither on the Constanța port. But if my colleagues, Colleen and Daniel, who cover the two companies, have anything to add, please feel free.
Yeah, for the Bucharest airports, basically, the company this year has concentrated and focused on the land expropriation, which is needed for the building of new terminals. Last year, there was a government ordinance which provided the funding for this expropriation, and basically, the company started to carry out this land expropriation this year. So we can say that from this perspective, the pandemic hasn't really influenced the company either positively or negatively. They're just carrying out with their plans. But of course, in terms of actual executing of this, there's still a lot of work still needs to be done, and especially the feasibility plan. The plan needs to be updated because it's an old plan, and all the financial investors have made clear that there will be a need for an updated feasibility study in order for the company to be capable of really accessing the financing.
Thank you.
That's all.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask questions, that is star one. Once again, that is star one. We have another question from Ulana Citregega. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. I have a question on the dividend distribution per share from page 20. This 0.1944. That you mentioned for 2020, is this the dividend that you actually plan to distribute, or is, I mean, what you received from, you know, in terms of special dividends, was that already distributed via tender offer? Can you explain a bit this figure, actually?
Sure. Thanks for the question, Juliana. The number that is included here is for illustration purposes only, and is to show the dividend income per share that we've received both, you know, as annual dividends and as special dividends. Because as we've mentioned in the past, our intention is to stick by the annual cash distribution policy and the annual dividends get paid as cash distributions less operating expenses. Whereas the special dividends, they can be used for daily buybacks, the tender offers, as well as any special dividends if we intend to do so. But I think as guidance for next year, what shareholders can expect is to have at least 5 cents per share as the cash dividend in line with the policy, because we, as always, have a minimum cash distribution that we can pay out, and that is 5 cents per share, no matter what the fund's dividend income is.
Okay, but so I haven't done the math yet, but basically you're going to distribute 525 minus operating expenses. This should be in more detail what you're planning to distribute. Are there any the loss that you've incurred so far in the 9 months, does it have any impact on the dividend distribution or not? Not really.
This is a recent it is a recent development, and this is mainly due to the recent AIFM legislation, which was approved by the government, and the legislation became effective on the 23rd of July. Now, on the positive side, this does give us more flexibility in what we can do with the listed part of the portfolio, because we're no longer constrained to have 20% in listed equities. Mm-hmm. On the negative side, in case of any losses, it does limit our ability to pay an annual dividend. However, our intention to have a cash dividend to shareholders remains there. So, of course, what we can do, if this is the case, at the end of the year, is to pay the same amount as a special dividend.
Okay, so instead of a regular dividend, you'd be paying a special dividend. Okay, I get it. Thank you.
We'll now take our next question from Amos Sum. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, Marius. Thanks for the presentation. Maybe could you share some color on the political situation in Romania at this point, and maybe some color on the ground on what's going on in terms of COVID and maybe the recovery and how things are going on. Thanks.
Sure. In terms of the political situation, we had the local elections in September, which highlighted that the two center-right parties are very likely to win the election. So the Liberal Party as well as the Union to Save Romania. And on the other hand, the party that has seen a significant decrease in the number of votes was the Social Democratic Party. If that remains the case, and as of now, the polls are certainly suggesting that, we would expect that in the elections on the 6th of December, PNL and USR to form the next government, as they are expected to exceed 50% of the votes according to the polls. However, the COVID situation, which is part of your second question, the situation has unfortunately deteriorated in Romania. We have seen a higher number of cases. We are exceeding 10,000 cases per day. So far, this has not led to a delay in the election, so we fully expect the elections to take place on the 6th of November. But what we have seen are further restrictions in Bucharest, as well as some of the larger cities in Romania, where the number of infections are higher than 8 per 1,000 inhabitants. What will be, of course, in this type of situation, what is uncertain is the voting turnout. But as we've seen in the local elections, the pandemic hasn't really had a significant impact on the turnout. So all things being equal, we would expect a relative similar turnout for the parliamentary elections. And as the polls are suggesting now, PNL and USR to win the elections. And then to move on and form the next government. We have seen local alliances being done by the two parties after the local election.
Great. Thanks, Maurice. That was very helpful. Just a follow-up question. You know, in terms of the Hydro IPO, do you think that Romania, the so-called the attitudes towards IPO has it still remains the same? Are the people still looking for an IPO, willing to, you know, so-called put their country assets up for sale in that sense?
We certainly think so, based on the discussions that we've had with the current government. Now, what we've seen this year, the fact that the government doesn't also have, you know, doesn't reflect the same majority in the parliament as well. We've seen this legislation that basically blocks any asset sales, privatizations, IPOs for the next 2 years. Based on the discussions we've had with the government, we understand that after the elections, their intention is to revert this legislation and to allow the IPO of Hidroelectrica to move forward, because certain steps have been taken for this IPO. The equity advisor has been hired, as well as the legal advisor. Unfortunately, because of this new legislation that was introduced earlier this year, not a lot has been done in terms of actual work on the IPO process, but once this legislation gets canceled, we would expect the process to continue. And we certainly, from where we're standing right now, if this happens shortly after the elections, we believe that there is scope for the IPO of Hidroelectrica to take place in 2021, in Q3 or Q4, because from every perspective, the company is ready to be IPO'd. And for the first time, I think, since we've managed Fondul, there is not only desire from our side, but there is political desire at the government level, and also desire from the management of the company. So looks like all the stars should be aligned for the IPO of Hidroelectrica to move forward. Furthermore, looking at the budgetary situation of the country, although you know, asset sales don't necessarily help with the budget deficit, they certainly help with the cash flow of the government. So from that perspective, we believe that the government should be strongly incentivized to move forward with this process as well as soon as possible in 2021.
Thank you very much.
And as a reminder, once again, to ask a question via telephone, please press star 1. That is star 1 to ask a question via telephone. And at this time, a moment, there appears to be no further questions via telephone. I would like to turn the conference back to you, Marius, for any additional or closing remarks.
Thanks, everyone, for your time today. And as always, for any additional questions, feel free to reach out directly. And wish you all a good week. Thank you.
And that concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.